television is called Hell on the Highway. Have any seen Hell on the Highway? Oh, wow. So obviously no one gets the National Geographic Channel, but the Mackies. And you know, it's maybe not as sophisticated for some of you as Here Comes Honey Boo Boo or Doomsday Preppers or Duck Dynasty. My guess is I can look around and I can identify some of you, I'm sure, watch Duck Dynasty. But there you go. Thank you, Dan. I knew you'd come through for me. Listen what National Geographic says about this program. Every year millions travel America's coast-to-coast artery, the I-80. At the peak of I-80 lies a frightening, storm-driven stretch of terror called Donner's Pass. And I've had some friends who've ridden it, and they've said it's absolutely true. It's in California, but it gets more snow in that area than any other place in the United States. It says that here, at over 7,000 feet, a band of tough operators who call themselves tow dogs. Now, hear what these tow truck drivers do. They see it as their mission to rescue stranded and wrecked motorists who lose their way. So the whole program, the whole documentary is about tow truck drivers coming to the aid and the rescue of those who are stranded, those who have run into difficulty along that terrible stretch of highway. It has been said, some have even written songs about it, life is a highway. All of us are on a journey, the journey of life. And along the way, some of us end up wrecked. All of us know what it is to be stranded, off in the ditch, disabled along the way. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, the key verse for this trio of messages, this holy season, we've been looking at the key verse here, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. It is the ultimate search and rescue mission. Last week, we were introduced to some characters who were wrecked and stranded along the highway of life. And we asked the question, as we looked at Zacchaeus, who is our key character that we are considering. Jesus, who we're told was passing through Jericho. He was passing through Jericho because he was on his way to Calvary. The question for us last week was Zacchaeus really such a sinful man? And we also asked the question, why was Zacchaeus so determined to see Jesus? Imagine what must have happened. Imagine. Can you really use your imaginations? So why was Zacchaeus so determined to see Jesus? I sure want to express appreciation for some folks who spent hours and hours and hours preparing this wonderful play for today. I've got some exciting news. The story is still not done. Zach's going to be back Sunday. It will be an exciting exposition of Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. For on Easter Sunday, we're going to be looking at the death and resurrection of Zach. You're going, what? I never read that before in Luke 19, 1 to 10. Come out Sunday morning. If you've got other plans, cancel them. You need to be here Sunday morning. Invite some friends, invite some neighbors for the exciting conclusion to this story. Luke 24 is given us the motivation for this unusual and very ambitious look at Zacchaeus in our Holy Week. When Jesus was resurrected, he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer. It's what we're looking at today. He will rise from the dead. That's what Sunday's about. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And I proposed this past Sunday that the story of Zacchaeus is like one of the great stories of forgiveness and repentance in all of Scripture. And I hope that you will join with us this Sunday as we celebrate this wonderful conclusion. You know, we struggle sometimes with what to do with some of these Bible stories. In fact, I would argue that because we struggle, often these Bible stories, like the story of Zacchaeus, is relegated to the Sunday school, and some of us look at it as kind of like children's fiction. It also leads to what I would argue at many times is very poor and sloppy theology. Let me explain that. The reality is that, yes, did Jesus heal the blind man? You better believe it. Can Jesus still heal people today? You better believe it. Was that his primary mission? No. Jesus did not set up shop and say, you know what, I'm just going to spend all my time here on earth healing the blind, healing the crippled. It's why today we might ask, did Jesus heal every blind person he met? Did Jesus heal every lame person in Jericho or in Jerusalem? The answer is no. And we need to be careful that we don't promise too much. I've heard people say, if you claim the name of Jesus, if you claim the power of the cross, every illness, sickness, problem, or difficulty will be eradicated. That is not true. In fact, Jesus, just before the crucifixion, told his disciples, in this life, you will have many troubles. Some of you here this morning would go, amen. I have some hardships. I have some troubles. But there's an opposite problem that we can be guilty of, and that is to promise too little. Because as I said this past Sunday, on the cross, Jesus became sin. Not only did he die for the sin condition and for the sins we have committed, but for sins against us. And as I said Sunday, the cross is epic. What Jesus accomplished on the cross is incredible. Not only did he die so that we could experience personal transformation, he died so that there would be the redemption of the cosmos. This whole earth will experience redemption. And guess what? And here's the exciting part. Because of the fall, because of sin entering into this world, we experience disease. We experience illness. Paul's great message in 1 Corinthians 15, where he makes a wonderful case for the death and resurrection of Jesus, reaches its climax when he talks about the fact that those who are believers will have a new resurrection body. No more Alzheimer's, no more diabetes, no more flus, no more sickness, no more death. Because of the cross, we have that assurance, we have that hope. Along the way, Jesus healed many people, giving us a preview of what was to come. But we always need to keep in mind that Jesus' primary concern when he walked on earth was for spiritual healing and restoration. And in all the stories you witnessed this morning, that was the primary detail. Jesus would say, as he was challenged in Mark chapter 2, when he asked the question, what is greater? What is more miraculous? To heal someone who is lame or to forgive sins? And the answer was, to forgive sins. And Jesus is always concerned. The superior need that you and I have is the forgiveness of sins. This talk about a new resurrection body in heaven will make no sense unless you have walked through the cross. John Piper puts it so eloquently, the Calvary Road is where everyone meets Jesus. It's at Calvary that Jesus died for our sins. You see, the blind man who was healed this morning eventually died. I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but did you know Lazarus died again? We need the hope that comes when we've experienced the forgiveness of our sins and all that comes with the forgiveness of our sins. As we look at the idea of forgiveness, We look at our next crossword, Father, forgive them. It's on the cross where Jesus gave us that wonderful prospect of the forgiveness of sins. Father, forgive them. In Colossians chapter 2, we read these words. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all her sins. How did he do it? He canceled the record of the charges against us. He took it away by nailing it to the cross. Here are some of the things we witnessed and heard about this morning through the stories that were told. You can identify, can't you, with some of the stories that were told. Words like dirty, bad choices, selfishness, a mess, hurt, brokenness, disobedience, emptiness, ashamed, hopelessness, broken commandments and promises leading to guilt, frustration and disappointment with life, phony, Jesus unreal, defeated, stuck. All this is what sin is about. And what Jesus did was, on the cross, he took those sins. He took all the consequences of sin, all the sins that we've committed and all the sins that have been committed against us. And what we're told is Jesus nailed it to the cross. And as his hands and feet were nailed to the cross, the sins of the world were nailed there. And what we're told in the passage there in Colossians chapter 2 is that all the sins against us, all the sins that we have committed, canceled, anything we would owe to God, dealt with fully. Christ paid the full price. And those sins are gone. They're no more. We are forgiven. And what are the byproducts of being forgiven? It's love, joy, peace, a new start, new direction, clean, purpose, hope, afresh, alive, once defeated, now overcoming, reborn. Forgiveness is about a second chance. And for some of us who've experienced initial forgiveness, it's a third chance. It's a fifth chance. It's being reborn.